No, no, you were laughing at the actual jokes in the movie.
There's a few good jokes. It's a movie
exactly
made,
a few.
It's a movie made for well-adjusted people. You, I'm sorry.
You laughed more than a few times.
It's time to hack the movies with Tony and Justin.
Sweet baby Jesus, Justin, how you doing?
Okay.
We've got sweet baby Jesus beer.
I did not feel like a beer. I have a root beer.
Oh. So do you get the pink straws on purpose?
I've had the pink straws in the kitchen for a while now. I don't know.
So yeah, we are drinking. Well, I'm drinking sweet baby Jesus because we watched a baby movie.
Again.
Yeah. So like rewind. Me and Justin used to have a show. It's been scrubbed from the internet.
Do you want to name the show or no?
Nah, let's not.
You don't want to, the show's been dead named?
The show's dead. But yeah, one episode we decided to go, because we used to do like double features once in a while.
Yeah.
And one night we saw two movies. One of them was Ghost in the Shell.
Ah.
Yes.
ScarJo.
Which everyone hated that ScarJo was in that movie because they weren't ready for strong Jewish female characters. Am I remembering that right?
I think that's it.
I think that's right. I think that's what the controversy was.
I will say the Ghost in the Shell, I actually really like how the movie looks as a Ghost in the Shell fan. And I like the song they used in the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the, all I ever wanted.
Oh, right.
All I ever needed.
I remember thinking the movie was whatever.
The Depeche Mode, I think.
Yeah. It didn't sit with me. I forgot most of it as soon as I left the theater. But we did it. We saw a second movie that night, and that was The Boss Baby 1.
Yes.
So there were four people in the theater. Two of them were me and you.
Yeah.
And we saw it at like 10:30 at night, I think.
Yeah.
And now we knew why we were there. We were there to review it and be edgelords and make fun of it, ironically and whatnot. Kind of like when me, you, and Mike Matei saw the Emoji Movie.
Yes.
But again, this is late at night. There were two older gentlemen also in the theater with us at the bottom of the theater.
I like thinking it was us in the future.
So we were sitting there. We're like, all right, we know why we're here. What's their deal?
We're a couple pairs of gay bears, Tony.
I don't know what happened when the lights went down, but I think in our initial review, we said it's a great movie to give a guy a blowjob to at 10 at night. You will not be disturbed if you go to see Boss Baby at night to blow a guy. But no, Boss Baby 1 was bad.
No, I watched it at midnight last night
to
get ready for this review.
Yes.
And
then we watched an episode of the show.
We watched... which is Back in Business.
Yes.
So The Boss Baby, Back in Business, and now Family Businesses 2.
Yes.
And I will say that the first one, it's not bad. It's by the guy, Bloodbath McGrath, who directed Madagascar, does a lot of DreamWorks stuff.
No, the first one was really bad.
It's not that bad. People make fun of it because it's like Boss Baby and there's like babies in heaven and stuff, but all the scenes where it's like the Calvin and Hobbes style imagination scenes and stuff, those are all kind of cool. And the whole trope of like, oh, your little brother, you know, like, because, you know, it's based on a book series.
Yes. And like in the book, I think the idea was
the younger baby boss is around because the family's paying so much attention.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they decided to add this lore about a business in heaven that controls baby love and they're at war with puppies and kittens
and fish
and fish
to get the most love
for
some reason.
Yes.
Yes.
For profits? I don't know. But should we establish the rules of this universe?
There's a lot of weird rules in the Boss Baby cinematic universe.
Yes. So the babies are made, who knows how.
In a factory.
They are made in a factory. And then they are sorted, male or female.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the movie did, not us. And then they are put either into families or management.
Right.
And if you're in management, you're a boss baby.
And you stay immortal forever with a magic fluid they have that's like milk.
Yes.
That you drink. And if you lose it, you then turn into an adult.
Yes.
And at the end of the first movie, when they, you know, because the boss baby is Alec Baldwin. Mm-hmm. And he's infiltrating the family
right.
as their baby. because the parents work at Puppy Co. and they have to get insider information from the company to find out what the new puppy is that's taking all the love away.
Right. Because
babies are losing the love.
I forgot most of this.
I watched it last night. There's some adult stuff. There's Star Wars references. There's a Mad Max Fury Road reference, the best Mad Max movie. There's a whole plane full of Elvis impersonators. There's some, a lot of good Looney Tunes style.
I don't remember. I remember the big fat
chase scenes. There is
the
big evil, fat colossal baby.
No, not the boss one.
Oh, big muscle baby.
Yeah, Jimbo, I think his name is.
Yeah,
that one was.
Who becomes the mayor of the town in the second movie?
Yes, which we found out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Steve Buscemi was the bad guy.
Yes, he.
You noticed something when you watched it the second time.
I was watching Boss Baby last night, and I noticed that the lip. Because I have a fucking animation degree for some reason that was wasting. No. And I noticed that the lip flaps on Steve Buscemi's character weren't matching perfectly. And I was like, because usually they animate to the voice. Like, they record all the voices and they do all that work first.
Yeah.
And then they do the animation, right?
Yeah.
It's not like dubbing or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was like, that doesn't sound right. He must have been replacing someone else.
Who did he replace?
Kevin Spacey.
Oh!
Kevin Spacey was originally slated.
Alec Baldwin's Glengarry Glenn Ross alum.
Right, yes. And that's the other thing is both men, Kevin Spacey and Alec Baldwin, were in Glengarry Glenn Ross, which was the movie where he was like, put the coffee down. Yeah. Coffee's for closers.
ABC, always be closing.
We should have done a joke where you're like, oh, can I have a beer, Tony? You're like, oh, no, beer is for movie reviewers.
I went with dumb pun about babies.
And then at the end of the episode, we're like, oh, can I get a beer now? Because they're reviewing the movies, and then you do something funny. But we didn't think that far ahead. Your beer is cooming everywhere.
I feel like this happens a lot. I feel like I've done this multiple times.
You're getting it all over my Nutty Professor mouse pad.
That's been gross since 2001, and you also have a replacement in your office because you're a psychopath?
Yeah.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only. Put that cookie down. Cookies are for closers.
So we watched the first episode of Boss Baby Back in Business.
That's the show which the new movie retconned.
Yes, Justin was very upset.
Because at the end of the first movie, when Alec Baldwin's character, the boss baby, becomes the head boss now, and the whole family has to forget about them, they mind wipe everybody like Men in Black.
Yes.
Which you've reviewed before.
I have.
And except for Tim. So the only person that, the young kid Tim, voiced by Miles Bakshi, whose grandfather Ralph Bakshi did like Fritz the Cat, Wizards.
That's insane.
The second Lord of the Rings animated film.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big animator.
We've all seen Bakshi stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So that's impressive.
The TV show, they have all their memories. And they're going on further adventures.
Yes. So they don't explain that at all.
No. And you were very upset.
Well, because
you kept screaming, this isn't canon. They're ignoring the lore.
First they ruined Star Wars, then Star Trek, then now Boss Baby. Is anything sacred? But, you know, I'm just saying, at the first one, he gave this sacrifice.
Yes.
For his business things to lose his mind and become with his family.
Yeah.
And then they just got rid of it with the show. Mind you.
Just like Darth Vader sacrificed himself to take down the Emperor, and then Kathleen Kennedy said, no, the Emperor is alive, and his granddaughter's going to kill him. Mm-hmm. Same thing, if you ask me.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I'm going to drink this slowly this time.
The show is now no longer canon. There was 4 seasons of that where they fight. There's cat love and all this other shit going on. I was skimming the Wikipedia.
Ah. Well, it sounds terrible.
It is.
You know what else is terrible? This movie we watched.
It's fine.
Why are you doing? Okay.
Okay. First off, we are both man children.
Yes.
I am 37, and if I did what my father did, right now I would have a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 6-year-old children. Yeah. I have none.
And you'd be losing fights to Tony Tarantino.
I have cats, cat babies. I know you hate that.
No. Okay. Cats are not people.
Right.
And pets should not be regarded as children.
Sure.
That's something sad people do.
Flash to Kieran's Twitter says, cat dad. Sorry, Kieran.
I don't refer to my cat as my son.
No, he's just a prop for your social media ambition.
He's a prop for my social media. He was supposed to take care of the mice. He only killed one. And he's just the bane of my existence now. He doesn't let me sleep. I don't get sleep anymore. Yeah. It really upsets me.
So anyway,
I love my cat. All right. He's just an asshole.
What the hell are we talking about?
Oh, we're talking about this movie, and we're not the audience for it.
No, we're not the audience for it, but it is for an audience of millennial types who have had kids, so they can watch movies with their kids, because there's so many like different things in it that, you know, it's
basically... Yeah, but like the jokes are a little too old for... this feels like a movie for little kids and grandparents, if anything.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah.
Well, it does have a Rugrats vibe.
Yeah.
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
I didn't watch the new Rugrats because why would you?
Yeah, why would anyone?
The 3D one. But
cartoons are for children.
Then again, we did watch Boss Baby 1, 2, and some episodes of the series.
Yeah, well, we're doing it as a public service announcement to tell people not to see it.
Right.
So can we get into this movie?
Sure.
It opens up with kind of the Shrek music, but not quite.
It goes DreamWorks.
Yeah, and we were expecting like a Shrek kind of... opening, like maybe they were parodying it, but then nothing happened. And then I thought we should go back in time and kill Shrek so this movie never gets made.
Wow.
And other Shrek things could never get made.
Or Madagascar or Kung Fu Panda.
I do like Kung Fu Panda.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Disney. Like Disney, when you see the castle in the beginning of Pixar and stuff, it plays like the When You Wish Upon a Star from Pinocchio. The Shrek theme, like the melody just became the DreamWorks theme.
Really? I don't remember that in any other DreamWorks movie.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we find out Tim has grown up now, and he's a stay-at-home dad.
Voiced by James Marsden.
James Marsden, Cyclops himself.
Which is funny, because in the first one, his older self is voiced by Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
And I guess they forgot about Tobey.
And that's like the last movie Tobey Maguire has done?
I don't know.
Yeah. The last on-screen thing was that show Spoils of Babylon, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then a Boss Baby, and then I don't remember anything else. I know he's coming back for Spider-Man, so
yeah,
that's gonna be exciting. But yeah, he's a stay-at-home dad, and he still daydreams instead of getting a job. He's just daydreaming day and night,
right? Because this has the, as I said, the Calvin and Hobbes style,
yeah,
animated like dream sequences,
right? And Boss Baby is now Boss Man, and he's super rich. And he buys his kids like expensive things, like ponies and whatnot.
Yeah, I saw like Tim Templeton. Everything's tea. Everything's gold. I thought they'd do a Donald Trump thing, but clearly they would not. But
yeah,
12 years ago they would have.
Yeah, yeah. And then what is it? His older daughter is like growing up.
Tabitha,
and she's like getting older, and she's looking in the mirror, and she sees a. We Can Do It thing. So there's some feminist propaganda in there for Newt, which I know he's a big fan of.
Well,
and
I will say, you know, with the first one, the big theme, the big trope being, you know, brotherly love and love is more important than work. And the younger brother, like you have to work together, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Of course, the baby needs more attention kind of a thing. This one's kind of like, am I not cool enough for my kids?
Yeah.
Am I, these memories going away? There's some of that in there.
Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, he has a younger kid. Why doesn't he care? Anyway, she says boom shakalaka.
Boom shakalaka.
Because kids today love saying boom shakalaka.
Boom shakalaka.
I can't count the times I've seen kids dabbing and flossing and saying boom shakalaka.
I like your floss.
I can't actually floss. I can't actually do
it. You put your hips into it.
This looks awkward because we can't actually see her arm. Also, he's trying to sing to her, and she's like, no, Dad, I want to listen to white noise. Get out. And he's like, let me tell you a story. Did I ever tell you the one about your uncle? And she's like, yes, he was a baby. You could talk and walk. He's like, wasn't it good? And she's like, no. And he's like, were the jokes good? And she's like, eh. And I'm like, oh, wow, this kid's reviewing Boss Baby 1 for us.
Because the first movie, which takes place in the 70s, it had this big family core thing where the parents were like babying the first kid.
Right.
And they would play him songs. So he's trying to do that for his kid. And I guess she's growing up and growing out of it.
And he goes up into his attic to reminisce. And he finds the wizard alarm clock.
From the first one.
So from what I remember, I thought maybe it was just his imagination that the wizard alarm clock. No, it's. It's pretty sentient.
Yeah, but no one else can see it do things, just him.
But how does that work? because I get magic babies, but now we have magic alarm clocks.
That's a Gandalf ripoff for some reason.
Yeah. Is this Toy Story? What is this?
I don't know. But in this one, it's missing an arm.
Right. And it's very upset about that.
It's upset about that. Where in the last one, it made a prison shank.
That's right.
Yeah. Because when he gets grounded, it's like he's in jail. A lot of prison references in this movie. There was a whole Shawshank scene.
Yeah, they literally play the Shawshank music because we watch it with subtitles, and it's like, I think May or something from Shawshank starts playing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then the dad goes to tuck in the younger daughter, and it turns out she's in management.
She's a boss baby.
She's a boss baby, and she's in the family business. She even has her own little suit.
Tony, did you know that I am a boss bitch?
You're a boss bitch. Huh. Care to elaborate?
No, that's a hashtag I saw. I thought I'd ride on it. Tony, who runs the world, Tony? Girls.
Oh, I had a different answer.
Oh! They'll come up later in this film.
Come up later.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently the dad remembers everything from the first one, right?
Yes. The
Baby Corp. He's like, you're from Baby Corp.
Yeah, Baby Corp, Puppy Corp. But so in the last one, Alec Baldwin's memories were completely wiped.
Yeah.
And we're going to retcon the four seasons of the show.
Yes.
So only Tim knows. And everyone thinks he's a crazy person because he's over imaginative.
So she's basically like, I'm on an important assignment. We need to get our uncle. You need Uncle Ted, boss man. You got to bring him here. And he's like, we've like grown estranged and we're not really together anymore. But then I guess she fakes like a phone call. And she's like, my older sister fell and broke her arm or whatever. So he shows up in a helicopter.
Yeah, lands in the street.
Lands in the street. Dollar bills just flying everywhere and a red carpet coming out and kicks the bike. Which did he do that in the first one?
Yes, the bike in the first one had training wheels on it.
Right. And he walks in, and he's like, oh my God, I heard there was something wrong. And they're like, no, everything's fine. The brother, Tim.
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 No, Tim and Ted.
Tim and Ted. I'm just going to call him Tim and Boss Man.
Just say James Marsden and Alec Baldwin.
Okay.
Just say Baldwin.
So James Marsden's like, listen, Boss Man, this is the new boss baby, and she's got a plan for us. And he's just like, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Right, because he doesn't have memories.
Yeah, but then she puts the pacifier in both of them.
Which lets them holographically teleport to
heaven.
To Baby Corp HQ.
Which is in heaven.
They don't say it's heaven. They just say it's up there.
Why do I remember them specifically saying it was heaven in the first one?
They bring up baby Jesus, which comes back in this one. But they don't ever say it's heaven.
Hmm.
And they kind of drop the whole stork thing. I don't know. I didn't read the fucking book, dude. It's heaven.
I forgot there was like a stork thing.
There's a stork thing.
So does every other animal have their own baby corp? Or is it just humans?
Well, I don't know. It might be just mammals. Like, is there like a platypus?
Maybe. I don't. Well, if they're in competition with the cats, the fish, and the dogs, they must all have their own baby corp.
Oh, yeah. Like, is Puppy Co. making the puppies?
I don't know.
Are there boss puppies? There must have been in the series. We didn't watch that far in.
Oh, my God. You know they're going to do boss puppies at some point.
Huh.
It's like Air Buddies. Air Buddies go to space.
Space Buddies. Spooky Buddies. I remember that one.
Yeah. The Air Bud like series is ever expanding. Like, it doesn't stop. It just keeps going.
How long has Air Bud the dog been dead for?
Like 20 something years, I guess.
Oh no.
Athletes.
Yeah. Shame.
So yeah, she's concerned about the school that her sister's going to.
Acorn.
This is where we meet the bad guy, who is Jeff Goldblum. Who, you know what? He's having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't seem miserable. Like, Steve Buscemi, if I remember right, he's just was whatever.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum seems to be having a lot of fun in this. But he's like a crazy guy. And he thinks kids are so intelligent. And he blames parents for holding them back. And all these schools are cropping up everywhere. And she's like, oh no, this is going to rob kids of their childhood?
I guess they're working too hard.
I guess, because they're not having fun. I don't know. Wait, what? don't they run on love? Do they necessarily have to care about the happiness of the kids?
Please continue. Please don't even think about it. All you need to know is they need to stop this school.
They have to stop the school. And also, Boss Baby said he only had 3 years of childhood, and it was the worst experience of his life.
Yeah.
And that was a line. But they introduce that there's a new liquid concoction that they made.
Then the new super milk.
Yes, that will turn them into babies again for 48 hours.
Yeah, make them younger for 48 hours. Because they have to infiltrate the Acorn
school. Right, they have to go undercover. They couldn't send any of their own babies down there?
Well, Boss Baby was the best baby. They built a statue. They built a golden statue.
That's right. He has a golden statue.
Isn't that like against the first, what do you call the things? Moses had them? Commandments.
You shall. Well, they didn't say that it was a god.
Yeah, but they're in heaven worshiping this golden Alec Baldwin baby.
Yeah, but no, it's like you should not have any other false idols or gods before me. As long as they're not worshiping it as a god.
Right. We'll see how we get to the end by the end of the film. Because they make another one.
They do make another one. So they drink the potion.
Well, they fight over it. Because the mission's only for Boss Baby.
But the daughter is trying to pulling the strings to make sure both of them go.
Because the whole point of the movie is they want James Marsden and Alec Baldwin to get to be brothers again.
Yes. Well, that's her mission. That's not a Baby Corp mission.
She's going rogue.
Which is like a Mission Impossible thing, which this feels a lot like Mission Impossible in certain scenes. Not good,
One of my favorite parts of the movie is when they're explaining, you know, when they give them the mission and they have to go in and they have to...
I'm putting it down too fast.
They have to plant a bug and like put like a plant in there and it's actually a bug and a plant.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. That's a pretty funny sight gag.
Yeah, so they fight a bit. They go, they do some Benjamin Button shit.
Oh, yeah, they're reversing an age while Time Warp plays because like the Time Warp. But then the mom and older daughter come home and they have to like hide from them. Wacky shenanigans happen where they're running around as they're getting younger and they still have their adult voices.
Yeah.
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 But they're talking about how like, we're going to go on a trip to reboot our relationship or something like that.
Yeah, and they trick the pilot into flying away.
Yes.
So the daughter and the mom think they left and abandoned them.
But they are hanging out in the attic together.
As babies. Well, he's Tim's character, James Marsden, is the same age as he was in the first
movie. Oh, right.
Because they had to somehow write themselves into a position where, oh, how do we do the same movie again? Where they're the same age, because they couldn't be adults in the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird.
And 4 years seems like a while between sequels like this.
Well, they have the TV show to hold it over. That was keeping the brand alive.
This is kind of a tough brand to like build a franchise on.
I agree, but it happens. Anyway. And at some point they're pinching each other's nipples. And that goes on for a really long time during the Time Warp sequence. And Tabitha just like doesn't like her dad.
Yeah.
Cause the mom's like, do you miss dad? And she's like, whatever. I don't give a shit, mom. Fuck you. That's what she says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. They got away that one PG-13 curse. In this. Yeah,
it's weird. I was shocked actually.
Fuck you, mom.
And Tim has like a weird nightmare that looks like, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Or like the,
which we have a review of. Nobody watched it, but we have a review of.
Or it's like the courtroom scene in The Wall.
Right. Then, which I also have a review of.
So does Doug Walker. It's pretty good. You should watch it.
I'm not familiar with that review. Oh. I know Doug Walker, but I didn't realize he reviewed The Wall. That's insane. Mm-hmm. Was it good?
Yeah.
Okay. But there's like a crazy judge sequence where like his family is all judging him and his alarm clock is judging him, which that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then the next morning they oversleep because he's on Tim time. That's a thing that comes up later.
It's rude.
Yeah, it's rude. So they have to get to the bus and at some point they get into sailor outfits.
Because they have to keep bringing things back from the first movie.
Were they in sailor outfits in the first movie?
Yes, they take a dumb picture together.
I guess I should have rewatched because
in the
first
one, they're pretending to be good brothers so the parents let them do things. Mm-hmm. In this one, they have to recycle jokes from the first movie.
I really am pulling a mint salad. I totally should have watched the previous movie so I knew what we were talking about.
I watched it at midnight last night.
What miserable existence is this? We're watching Boss Baby movie.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, so they go on a wild chase throughout the city because the Boss Baby can now control the pony.
Oh, yeah. You forgot about the pony.
Yeah. No, I mentioned the pony earlier.
Yeah, the pony's a major character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Boss Baby can control him.
With... Well, because I guess the pony realizes that the baby's adult self bought the pony, therefore that is the pony's owner?
Maybe. And it does a whistle, like Mac and me, to get him.
Yeah.
But they cause a disaster in the town.
By the end of it, there's like a mushroom cloud.
Yeah.
They nuke the town.
Everyone dies.
I don't know if you noticed, this movie had two mushroom clouds.
It did.
And the first movie also had two mushroom clouds.
Huh.
Yeah.
They really like their mushroom clouds.
I don't know why I remember figured that one out, but I was thinking about that.
But yeah, so they're running around the town. The triplets from the first movie are now bike cops. But we thought that they were girls in the first one.
Yeah, but they're boys and they're all like, you know, they're like
men.
They're like YMCA. They look like the fucking Village People cops.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
And they got like the big like fireman cop mustache.
Yes. And then the other two babies, one became the mayor and then the other girl became his wife, I think. Or they're just friends.
Yeah, because there's the one girl baby and then muscle baby.
Yeah. And then they chase them through Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron.
Yeah, it's kind of like
where there's just one guy watching in 3D.
it's like the what the hell is the scene in
Sandlot.
The Sandlot.
Where they got the Wolfman.
Yeah, the beast runs through the screen. It's like that, but it's Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron, which I watched in theaters when it came out because I worked at the theater at the time with Newt. And I was like, this sucks.
But yeah, so you're right. They make a giant like snowball that just crushes the town.
It's like
that the guy with the 3D glasses is like, this looks so real. Like, he has no idea.
It's like a Katamari.
Yeah.
Well, you and me were going to watch this in theaters.
You said I got us 3D tickets, and then we didn't see it in theaters.
Sorry.
I don't know if that would have helped.
Well, the other day we were doing a review in here. I forgot if that one's come out yet. I don't think so.
I don't think it has.
And we were talking about how 3D movies are dead.
Yeah.
But this one's back.
It's back, baby.
In 3D, but only at Regal Cinemas, which is weird. So now if you want to watch...
I mean, 3D movies haven't really died. They're still
No, but it's weird. But in the sense that, like a theater can have exclusivity over the 3D rights of a film.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the 3D thing now is because I think in China, your movie needs to be in 3D.
Really?
I think. I remember that was one of the rules, I think.
And then...
But...
We watched this one on Peacock.
Yes.
Because... Universal owns NBC, which owns DreamWorks. Therefore, it's so hard to figure out who owns what and what goes where.
Yeah.
It's really fucking annoying. But
no, there's still, I think a lot of like the big movies are still in 3D.
I was going to get us tickets and the theater was actually packed. You couldn't reserve, like, I was impressed.
Well, we should have got tickets at 10 p.m. again, so we'd only have to be sharing the theater with two gay men. Who we would ignore because that's their right to do whatever they want.
Mm.
And we would have just enjoyed Boss Baby too.
Tony, Pride's month over. You don't have to care. Jesus Christ. I'm kidding. I love gay people.
Is that like the walkway?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that? The crosswalk in the one city? They painted it overnight. Like, why not just leave it up? Philly has a Pride walk thing that's been up since like the mid-2000s.
It's Philly.
Yeah, I guess so.
They have a gayborhood.
That's true. Okay, so they finally, after nuking the town and killing everyone, they get to the school. And then they lure some kids into the bushes with $100 bills and then steal their clothes.
And switch them with sailor outfits.
Yes.
Yes.
And then we never see those kids again.
No.
I assume they just took that money and
Fuck
did whatever.
Yeah.
So they break into the school. Boss Baby goes with all the stupid babies.
Well, what happens was... The kids are going to school. Everything's like the whole school's on the spectrum because there's a color spectrum.
God damn you.
What? So there's red and yellow and green. Yes. We're just talking about the pride flag, right?
Yes, yes.
And I guess all the dumb kids are on the warmer side of the spectrum, like yellow, orange, red.
Yeah.
And then the higher side, the ultraviolet side, blues, purples, is the super smart kids.
Right.
And because Tim's daughter, Tabitha, is in the blue, he switches his little necktie acorn thing with the boss babies and puts boss baby in the yellow squad, and he goes with the blue kids.
Okay.
So then he can creepily hit on his own daughter, which happens a lot.
He's not hitting on her, but
things are said.
Yeah.
Especially at the end.
He's not hitting on her, but I do get like Marty McFly vibes.
Calvin Klein.
Calvin. Yeah, it gets a little weird.
It's weird.
It gets a little weird, and it's not supposed to be, but it comes off very weird.
And I don't know if this is some sort of indictment of the education system and like hosting up those and this competition and this strict thing versus just throw them in there and No Child Left Behind, let's see what happens. There's something there.
Yeah.
Because later you find out that adults are ruining the world, and they, you know, made war and global warming and toxicity and all this stuff, and kids are the next chance kind of a thing. So I don't know what they're trying to say with the school or what a kid would think about it. But anyway, they're going to the smart class.
Yes.
And
Jeff Goldblum is their teacher, but he's on a TV screen.
Yes.
Which a lot of kids can relate to these days. Did I mention it on the show? When I was hanging out and showing my goddaughters Godzilla versus Kong, the youngest one started playing with Legos and her dolls, and then she like built like a desk and everything, and she's like, look, it's going to Zoom school. And I'm like, wow, we are in a fresh hell, aren't we? Where this kid's imagination is Barbie's learning school from Zoom.
Yeah, well, there's also a, you know, I know a lot of people who are teachers, and they're just like, yeah, that the two or so school years that went through this or whatever, like graduating, they're fucked.
Yeah.
They're completely fucked.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, if you were in 5th, 6th grade, 11th, 12th grade, college, like, it was a huge problem.
Yeah.
So, sorry, guys.
Sorry.
I mean, we got our education.
Yeah. I failed out of college, but I passed all my film courses, and that's all that matters. You know what the smartest thing I ever did in college was, Justin? I skipped one of my senior thesis class so I can go to a book signing of a now failed comedian who pretends to be a banana, and I met you and Newt. Who would have thought, career-wise, that'd be the smartest move in the world?
Yeah, we found out today that Newt was there. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did not know Newt was there. So the stars just aligned, and we're doing all this cool stuff.
What was that? Was that 2012?
It was 2011.
2011.
Yes.
10 years ago.
Yes.
I've known Newt for 20 years and you for 10.
Yes. And here we are living the life, and the guy we went to see is pretending to be a banana. Anyway, let's keep going.
Sure. Yeah, so they're at the school.
Yes, and what you call it? Tim.
They're in class, yeah.
Yeah, Tim is trying to like get in trouble to go to the principal's office.
Well, the whole classroom's on this weird ranking system.
Yeah.
It's almost like Jeopardy. If you get a question right, you get elevated, and if you get a question wrong, you get de-elevated.
Yes.
And Tabitha's like winning, and there's this like weird ginger redhead kid in the class that's like the bully, which that doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I mean, who's ever been bullied by a redhead before? Cut the picture of Newt Wallen and Crystal. Anyway. Speaking of redheads, Ted at the same time, Boss Baby, is stuck with the little kids, and there's multiple little kids there. There's Glue Kid. There's Blue Hair Kid. There's there's one more kid before the kid I want to mention. I forget what it is, though. I don't know. But there's Crystal Baby.
It was like the goth baby.
Yeah, goth baby, who you guys kept calling Crystal the entire time.
Looks like Crystal.
And she's the most horrifying thing in the movie. She's the scariest thing I've seen in the movie in a long time.
Yeah, it looks like Crystal.
But I love, she's just like, I like ponies. And I love
the movie gets funnier from this point on.
Yeah, and I do like when she's just like, don't stand near me or whatever. And yeah. Boss Baby is constantly freaked out by her.
Boss Baby's goal is to escape this room, this padded room, by the way, with the other delinquent children.
Yes.
And find his way to figure out what the plan of the bad guy is, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
And Tim's job is to save his daughter or hang out with her. There's
to
no
learn,
point.
I guess learn more about his daughter and relate to his daughter and find out.
Oh, and,
like,
and he takes the name Marco. You know, Marco Lightspeed.
So that
he becomes
name.
Marco's Lightspeed.
Yeah.
And
he draws on a mustache and tattoos and
because
says,
he's trying to get sent to the principal's office.
Yes, and he says everything is stupid.
So he can roam the hallways and oh no, he's on the same mission trying to get through another way. He's just crappy at it.
Yeah, but then he gets sent to the do I have it here? Hold on. Oh, he gets sent to the Amazon pod.
Amazon?
You didn't see that?
No.
It was this idea that was proposed by Amazon. They built these pods, and it was like for their stressed out workers because they have like horrible working conditions. When they're sad, they could just sit in this tiny pod and listen to calm music or something. I'm like, that is super dystopian.
Wow.
It's like, no, you're not allowed to leave work. We will not pay you. Get in the pod.
Wasn't there a thing with Amazon where the air conditioning or something broke in one of their facilities? And they realized it was a cheaper alternative just to hire more ambulances to stay out front rather than cool the employees or get fans or something.
Aren't you glad we killed small business to help those guys out? Anyway.
We just need more robots.
So he gets put into the Amazon pet.
Oh, and it's playing Enya.
It's playing Enya.
It's like, sail away, sail away, sail away.
Which was on the Pure Mood soundtrack. Cut to Kieran's interpretation of the Pure Mood soundtrack.
Experience Pure Moods, the perfect soundtrack for your way of life.
So, Jeff Goldblum, he confronts Boss Baby.
Well, Boss Baby escapes.
Boss Baby escapes.
First, they make a giant machine of war.
Yeah.
And then he uses glue from the Glue Kid to climb on the building.
Yes. And he meets Jeff Goldblum, who is expecting him. And it turns out Jeff Goldblum is a baby.
A baby in a mechanical suit. A super smart baby.
Yes. We find out his origin in a little bit, but he is not from Baby Corp.
It's like
nor is he management.
Newt was saying it was like Baby Geniuses. Like the plot for Baby Geniuses 2, which I've never seen, so I don't know what the hell he's
doing. I only saw Baby Geniuses 1, but Boss Baby, I feel like, does steal a lot from that. With the whole, like, babies are super smart before they hit a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's the point of that? I don't know. What does he say to the Boss Baby? Because this isn't when he's taking him on tour, is it?
No, he pretty much says, hey, you're smart too.
Yeah.
I'm looking for like a lieutenant kind of a thing.
Okay.
Come with me. It says you're blue right now. We're going to make you purple. Purple's the smartest of all the babies.
Oh.
You're going to come to a secret meeting tonight.
Okay.
So that you can learn about my nefarious plan. But right. Until now, ta-ta, Turtle.
Yes. And then he's hanging out in the playground, and that's when his brother comes to meet him.
And it does a Shawshank.
The Shawshank thing. But he's like, yeah, I was in the box, which means the Amazon pod, and they, like, don't... They're scared of
it. Because it's, like, solitary confinement.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's when they have their fight.
Right. They argue... What is it, like, you weren't there for me, and we're supposed to be there?
Yeah, I don't need you. Go do your dumb shit, I'll do my dumb shit.
Yeah.
The movie, yeah, I think it's an hour 47 minutes or something like that. It's, like, a good 20 minutes too long.
Oh, yeah.
Because you really feel it in this part where, like, there's so many times where they break up and come back together. There's, like, three times, and it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and then this is also when the dad is trying to, like, pretend to be that kid and get to go home with them. And he's like, I'm very poor.
Yeah, like he decides, oh, if I'm not going to help the Boss Baby, I'm going to go hang out with my daughter
so I can, like, relate more to her.
Yeah.
No. Again, Back to the Future vibes. Back to the Future vibes. Then they have that secret meeting. We find out other babies are in on this conspiracy.
And there are also
ninja babies.
There are ninja babies.
Ninja babies are chasing Boss Baby, and at one point they all hit the wall like a flood of water, and it reminded me of the zombie cars from Fast 8.
Yeah.
Which you guys can watch that review. We talked about Fast 8, and I guess also World War Z.
Yeah.
But then Jeff Goldblum baby saves him, and basically his whole thing is, yeah, I have all these babies just randomly hitting stuff, writing code for all these apps.
Yeah, they kind of say, like, it's kind of like if you have a million monkeys typing on typewriters, they'll write Shakespeare kind of a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're making apps, so it turns into the plot of Kingsman at the end.
Right.
With Valentine and Samuel Jackson's
character. Right, right, right. Remember Kingsman 2? That movie was not that good.
They fucked it up. I love Kingsman 1.
That prequel's coming out. The Kingsman?
Yeah.
But, like, who cares about a prequel?
Yeah.
Everyone in the movie is either going to die or become evil.
Yeah.
By the time the first movie happens.
Correct.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh.
Yeah, and they're making apps. They made a Snapchat, like Cat Chat app. Yes. Cat Snap.
And Stock Crush.
Yeah, it's like Candy Crush, but
which
stocks.
Boss Baby loves. He loves Stock Crush.
So they make apps, and it has, the crux of it, and something that's been going throughout the whole movie, is there's a pageant, a Christmas pageant.
Holiday pageant.
Holiday pageant.
Which we'll talk about, because they make it very clear it's a holiday pageant.
The holiday pageant.
Yeah.
Is where the app, like all the shit's going to go bad at the holiday pageant.
Right.
And Tabitha is going to sing there, his daughter.
Yes.
And now in the whole movie, they do this whole thing, like, are you actually going to be there to watch your daughter go on the play, like, you know, like the trope where it's like, oh, you didn't come see my play, you didn't come to the big game, or whatever.
Yeah, which again, I've mentioned in the past, I can't relate to, because my dad was a cop and he missed a lot of holidays and stuff.
Yeah,
and you just fucking get over it. Stop crying, kids. That's basically my. I don't know. Does anyone else relate to that? Anyway.
Yeah, but
the new app he's making will give them power. Because he's like, oh, will the app give us love? He's like, no, power. And then Boss Baby's like, I'm in.
Right, because Boss Baby's kind of on his side a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Because he's like, oh, it's a baby. Yeah, they want power. Like, yeah, the adults did fuck up the world. Maybe the baby should be in charge.
Yeah. And then back at home, Tim is infiltrating his family. And then he finds out that his daughter doesn't hate him. She's afraid of, like, letting him down. Mm. And wants to make him proud.
Right.
And then the parents show up, which I think is Jimmy Kimmel and Lisa Kudrow.
It's Lisa Kudrow from Friends and that guy from The Man Show.
Or the guy from Ben Stein's Money.
That's him.
We're right, right. That guy.
I don't know where he went nowadays.
Yeah.
But
I heard he cries a lot.
Oh.
Right.
He's on that Kevin Smith train.
Oh, God. Yeah. What the fuck? I think he cried again recently.
Mm.
Like, after we made fun of him crying the last time, I think he has since cried again.
Was it He-Man related?
Oh, God. Yeah, probably was. He-Man is mentioned in this. Do you think he cried at the He-Man stuff in this movie?
There's a lot of He-Man stuff in this.
A lot of He-Man
There's stuff. A lot of Universal properties in this. More so than Disney does.
Yeah, not as much as you would think, though. You think...
I don't know what Universal owns anymore.
Jurassic Park.
None of that. Surprised.
Well, I guess they share that with Amblin. The Fast Saga. So they pretty much, that's like the biggest action franchise on Earth.
Yeah.
So they got it covered. Yeah, so the grandparents come, and they were making fun of, they were making fun of Tim. And they're like, oh, yeah, he's on Tim time because he has an overactive imagination.
Yeah, like they're kind of making fun of him to his own face, but he doesn't realize it. Yeah. So that means they're all shit-talking him behind his back.
Yes.
And he's then, like, oh.
And then, while that's happening, we cut back a little bit to Boss Baby with Jeff Goldblum, and he tells his backstory, where his parents were child psychologists that made him listen to, like, 10,000 hours of Mozart or something.
Yeah.
And this made him so smart, but he hated his parents for not being as smart or for being in control. So he left.
I'm pretty sure Baby Mozart doesn't do anything. Remember that Baby Mozart?
I don't know.
You'd play Mozart for your baby.
Oh yeah, and instead it was supposed to like help your baby's brain.
Didn't do fucking shit.
Yeah, why do they think that would work?
You should let your baby watch Amadeus, the 1984 seminal classic.
Yes,
with Jeffrey Jones.
Which was referenced in Last Action Hero.
Yes, it was.
Please don't mention Jeffrey Jones in a movie about children.
I like Ravenous. And Mom and Dad Save the World.
Please don't mention Cuties fans in a movie about children.
And Stay Tuned.
God damn you. God damn you. Ed Wood. We have Ed Wood over there. He's in that.
Yeah, he was, what's his name?
He was in a movie we reviewed. Well, not me and you, but me and Newt reviewed Devil's Advocate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's when the Cuties fans joke started. Anyway, yeah, so he, like, left home, and the pageant is going to be B-Day, the baby revolution.
Yeah, not birthday, baby day.
B-Day, yes, because some of the babies get very confused. The babies from all parts of the world, because we could tell by which hat they're wearing.
Yeah, there's some of that in there of, like, Senor Squeak and stuff like that. There's a little stereotype stuff in there, but for no reason.
And then I like when Boss Baby goes home, the grandparents are still talking shit, and they're like, oh, yeah, Ted, he tried to sue us a couple times. It's like, wow, Boss Baby was a real boss dick. What the fuck was that about?
Yeah. Yeah, now all the heroes are together.
And then
both Boss Babies, the girl and the boy, and the brother.
Yeah, and then they're sad because they're like, they used to be so close, and now they're not anymore, and that's very, very sad.
Yeah.
But then we find out that Tabitha is a mad scientist.
Right.
Because her fish has an enlarged brain.
Oh, yeah, and it screams with a speaking spell?
Yeah. And it's like, it's trying to say hello, but it's stuck, and it's just like, hell.
Yeah, it just keeps saying hell. And it's then, like this awful fish, but its name's Hawking, like Stephen Hawking?
And it sounds like Stephen Hawking.
That's weird.
That is weird. But then the dad's trying to teach her how to, like, sing, because she's terrible. And as when she first sings, the fish just goes, please stop, please stop, please stop. But then they sing that song by Yusuf / Cat Stevens. These days he goes by just Yusuf or Cat Stevens.
Cat Stevens sings the Wild World song?
Yes. But this is some other song by him, I think. Some imagination song. And through this magic of hanging out with her dad, she can now sing more gooder. Oh, you keep looking over there. I thought maybe the camera died or something.
No, I'm just looking at myself, figuring out why I'm sitting here.
Boss Baby reads his file. Because his niece is like, you got to read your file. And then it's a letter from his brother?
Yeah, that was the letter that made him leave Baby Corp in the first movie.
Right.
And it was the brother saying, it was a memorandum. That was a big part of the first movie. Saying, hey, I love you. I'm always going to be with you every year, blah, 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 blah. Mm. And so that's where they need to get back to. So
right. And then at some point, Baby Corp is going to take care of everything.
Right.
But we see Tina, like, fake something. She's like, what? We need more evidence. Okay, I'll get it.
She wants the brothers to work together on it rather than call in support. So she fakes that Baby Corp's not coming for help.
Yes. To continue their mission, which I think she's putting a lot at stake there.
Yeah, a lot of stake. Because this is like a global, pretty much every adult will become a zombie and die.
And at this point, Boss Baby has fixed the wizard's arm with a He-Man toy.
He-Man arm.
Yes. So
he has the sword of power.
Yes.
And Castle Grayskull's there.
Castle Grayskull's there, which sits in Newt's office. Toys. They're for children, am I right? So their plan is to go there, put a computer chip inside Jeff Goldblum's mech suit. Just talking about this movie, it just feels like I'm making up bullshit.
Right, because they do a scene like Ocean's 11 style or
like Mission Impossible.
Or like Edgar Wright thing or Mission Impossible where they talk about what they're going to do and then you see it go down.
Mm.
Yeah,
and their plan is to like control him and then empty out his suit and then everyone takes pictures of him because he was exposed as a baby man.
Weird.
Very weird. So when they get to the pageant, Boss Baby finds out that the app is a way to like brainwash people.
The picture app.
Yeah, and basically you can control their mind. And at the pageant, they're singing about all the countries and people around the world that celebrate holidays at that point in time. And they go from this country and this religion, and then they go to just agnostic, and it's just a kid.
Yeah, in all black, looking like Steve Jobs.
Yeah, just blowing a bubble. They're like, agnostic. And then they're like, and Hanukkah. And then there's a bunch of kids pretending
they're
to be
like,
on a menorah.
They're like, Christmas and Diwali and agnostic. That's probably one of the funniest parts of the movie.
That one was, bro. I'll give the movie that.
With the snow in this movie, this was clearly supposed to come out 6 months ago.
Yeah.
This is a Christmas movie.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those, like, let's hold out. Maybe we can get it in theaters. And then
why not just wait till the end of this year? Is something else coming out that they didn't want to compete against? I don't really keep an eye on that kind of thing.
Well, Universal just put out Fast 9, which is going to clean house pretty good. Maybe they just need something to push the app. Like, oh, they had to put
Peacock.
It in
yeah.
They had to put it in theaters, because why not? But yeah, that's a good way to push the app. Mm. I mean, it worked with HBO. They put Godzilla vs. Kong in theaters.
Which is
and
weird
on the
because
app.
The last movie had like a budget of like $120 million or something, and this one only got $80.
They didn't have to work that hard this time.
Oh, because they had tech.
They have the show, they have the merch, they have a built-in that's franchise. True. This is just like another...
You don't got to pay Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. This is just like a commercial for their Boss Baby shit.
That's true.
It's kind of like...
In fact, when we turn on our TV, there was an ad for Boss Baby on the fucking TV.
The ad on the Samsung TV was like, watch Boss Baby 2 right now. Mm-hmm. I forget when this comes out, but we mentioned it in like the Toy Story episode. Which either comes out before or after this. But no, that I mentioned in that, like, Disney had that model where they're like, oh, we'll put less money into the sequel. People are going to buy it no matter what.
That's true.
Yeah. It's a smart business model.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make for a good movie, but it's a smart business model. So yeah, the dad is sad because he has to, like, stop this, like, plot, but then he's going to let his daughter down because that's, like, a big thing. He needs to see her sing. Or she needs him to see her sing.
Even though, like I've done stage stuff before, like, you can't see anyone in the fucking audience.
Which, it's to so be bright. Fair.
They do show a little
they
bit.
They do show.
Yeah.
But yeah, they go to stop the plot, but it turns out it was a trap. Jeff Goldblum was on to them the whole time.
Also, the song they sing sucks.
You were singing it.
Yeah, because
it's
catchy.
Can I point out that also, not only were you singing the song, you and Newt were laughing at, like, most of the jokes in this.
It was funny.
You were laughing. It was embarrassing.
Well, laughing at what? Like, oh, that looks like Crystal. Ha ha ha. That's what we were doing.
No. You were laughing at the actual jokes in the movie.
There's a few good jokes. It's a movie.
Exactly
made-
a few.
It's a movie made for well-adjusted people. I'm sorry.
You laughed more than a few times. Newt, I think, was legitimately liking it.
Well, Newt's a well-adjusted adult, and I look like a giant toddler. So, I'm the boss, baby.
So yeah, he captures them and puts them in the Amazon pod. But then he starts filling it with water like he's going to drown them.
Yeah, the ninjas put him in there.
Yeah, that was a little.
Yeah, he's gonna drown them to death. I wish that it played like it, the Enya song stops, but I wish you heard it underwater like.
But yeah, so Tabitha goes to sing her song. Yes. And like I said, the lights, she can't see that her dad's not there. So it gives her the confidence. She just pretends he's there. She uses her imagination. Oh, my God.
Oh, they get kidnapped before the song plays.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
And then she sings the whole song and it's about being friends or whatever.
Yeah. It's like together we're friends forever. Yeah.
But while that's happening, people are trying to take pictures of their stupid kids and they're all getting zombified.
Because,
because
when they take a picture of themselves, it zaps them.
Yes. And then... So everyone's zombies. Tabitha's sad that her dad's not there.
Well, Tabitha thinks everyone's just taking videos of her and laughing at her.
Oh,
Because no one's clapping except for Boss Baby 2.
Oh, right.
Electric Boogaloo.
But then Jeff Goldblum goes out to celebrate. And he controls them and makes them dance like the deleted scene from Ghostbusters 2016.
Yeah, well, now he controls all the parents and stuff. And all the other kids at the Acorn Academy didn't realize that he was a baby. And they're like, wait, our parents are zombified, you're a baby, and some of them are like going with it and some aren't. It's like this weird, they're like child soldiers.
Yeah, it's bizarre. You think like the older kids would just beat them up.
This is the plot of Metal Gear Solid 5.
The video games are for children. Can you explain what happens in that?
Metal Gear is a movie, not a video game.
Right, it's a movie, I forgot. Because I remember someone once put it on a PlayStation, and they said, we're going to play Metal Gear 5, but then nothing... I didn't do anything for an hour.
The PlayStation plays DVDs and Blu-rays and stuff, yeah.
Wait, I thought it was a video game, but I remember me and my friend, we didn't touch the controller for like an hour, and things were happening. I'm like, oh, this is clearly a movie.
Mm.
Weird. Why don't they put those in theaters? That's bizarre.
Well, they are making a Metal Gear Solid movie.
Oh, God.
With the guy from who directed...
Kong Skull Island.
Skull Island, yeah. Who's in Death Stranding. And I got a 5-star at his place delivering parcels, and he didn't thank me on Twitter.
Wow. Wait, what place? What?
You bring, it's like FedEx Simulator. Amazon, you like bring people packages. And I got 5-star the director, and he didn't thank me on Twitter.
What a jerk. Do you have proof of that? We'll tweet this.
Oh, I got proof. I got the receipts.
We're going to, yay. Jordan Von Robert, I think your name is. Acknowledge Justin Silverman. Acknowledge him.
Fellow Jew, too.
fellow Jew, okay? Acknowledge your fellow Jew. What's the Jewish word for brother?
Broseph? I don't know.
Also, I don't think it's Jewish.
Jewish, it's like Hebrew, yeah.
Hebrew or Yiddish, I don't know. Anyway. So who saves them from the Amazon pod?
The horse.
Yeah, the horse who never left the school and no one was wondering where the horse was. I feel like that'd be a big deal.
And they whistle for the horse.
Yeah, and he shows up and he just breaks them out of the pod. And he could just run through walls and shit. And I kept saying, like, is this horse from, like, Krypton? Like, how the fuck strong is this horse? This is the strong.
Oh, there is a super horse.
Yeah, and he's in love with Supergirl. It's weird.
Well,
the 50s and 60s were weird with comics.
Okay.
So, yeah, ninja babies fight, and the good babies fight them, and the goth baby, Crystal, has the scariest scene in the movie.
Great scene.
Where she's like turning off the lights. She's like a ghost monster thing.
Yeah.
She beats him up, but I like when they're on the pony. She's like, I like your pony. And Boss Baby just picks her up and throws her away.
Thank you.
But yeah, then Tina gets into the mech suit. Another, he has multiple mech suits.
I didn't realize he had multiple mech suits. Yes. So he has one for his suit or his tuxedo, and then he has a leisure suit.
Yes. And he goes to, they fight each other. So it's like aliens. She has to get in this suit to fight the bigger bad guy.
Right.
Oh,
right. Because they find out that the server room is in the giant acorn at the center of the complex.
Right.
And they have to get the acorn to stop the worldwide transmission of the bullshit because it is like Kingsman.
Yes.
At the end of the movie.
And they're all fighting. The boss baby and the brother get stuck and they're surrounded by the parents who are zombified, and he says it's Night of the Living Boomers.
It's Night of the Living Boomers.
And that's when the movie turned it around for me. I'm like, oh, we're shitting on boomers, you know, now? I'm into it.
The trailer, Boss Baby 2, the little girl, said something about boomers in the trailer and they cut it out of the final.
There was a joke about liberals in the first episode of the Boss Baby show. She's like, I didn't know your brother was a liberal. Mm.
Wait, isn't this the plot of Terminator Genesis with the phone app? Like, Skynet's a phone app in that, right?
Yeah.
This is what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an operating system.
I can't remember a lot of that movie, to be honest.
I don't know if you want to make a sequel that's ripping off Baby Geniuses 2, Kingsman at the end, and Terminator Genesis.
We forgot to mention that earlier in the movie. When the dad was trying to bond with his daughter, he made like a volcano with Mentos and soda, and she wasn't impressed by it anymore. And then at the very end of the movie, Mentos falls covered in soda.
Well, because it's a baby who's able to, because Jeff Goldblum's character is a baby who can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. They're eating a lot of candy and soda all the time.
Yes.
You know, because you're not supposed to eat vegetables and green beans, which they show in the, what do you call it? The animated series.
Yes.
There's a lot of vegetable eating.
Hey, Justin, that's not canon. Don't reference it.
Whereas in this, they go through the whole, you know, dropping breadcrumbs of foreshadowing of, oh, soda, candy, Mentos, blah, blah, blah. But if you remember, the Mentos soda ending was done by the Angry Video Game Nerd in the Pepsi Man episode.
Ah.
Which was my idea. And Boss Baby 2 stole it.
Man, I can't believe people would steal your ideas. Do you know any other people who might have stolen some ideas you've had?
You will find out in, what was the episode we did the other day?
Dread.
We did a Dread review, and I talk all about everyone stealing my ideas.
So look out for that episode, or watch it if it's come out. I forget the schedule.
I think it's in August.
Okay, yeah, watch that episode to find out all the people who have wronged Justin Silverman.
The list goes on.
Don't skip the Dread 3D episode.
Yeah.
So
the Mentos, Mentos and soda explode.
Yeah, but I like this part where they go to pull the sprinkler and then nothing happens.
Right, before they do the Mentos and soda, they're going to wet the room with a sprinkler.
Yeah.
Like a fire extinguisher sprinkler.
But then nothing happens. He's like, the school is very expensive. I had to cut corners somewhere. It's like, oh, well, everyone could have just died without a sprinkler.
Well, that's kind of a misnomer, or I don't know what you call it, like a myth. Whereas if you pull a fire alarm, all the water doesn't go off. It just alerts everyone.
No, it's just,
The only reason the things go off is because the little material, the filament in them gets hot and then it pops.
Yeah.
And then the water comes out because it's holding the water at bay.
Yeah, I don't know why people thought.
They're not, I mean, there's like Halo system and shit. You pull it and like all the gas and
Specific ones, but like the basic ones, because I know this because I remember in school we had assholes who would pull the fire alarms all the time. The sprinklers never went off.
Mm. Oh, in my high school, there was a bunch of bomb threats and people pulling fire alarms. Mm. And what it ended up being is some kid was doing it and then going out where everyone was like huddled up, like the whole senior class, and was just selling weed. And he was making thousands because everyone was out there. He was just doing it like all week. And then a bomb sniffing dog found all the weed in his locker and he got arrested. And I don't know what happened to him. So anyway, fire safety is
important. I'm sure he made a lot of good decisions in his life.
That's what happened. It was, you know, he didn't get to go on senior trip.
Oh, darn.
We went to Disney World.
He didn't get to go see the movie Senior Trip, which I think was a National Lampoon movie.
It was.
The trailer played for it on the Dumb and Dumber tape. Mm-hmm. That's all I know. I don't think I've ever actually watched that movie.
So anyway, the Mentos and soda
blow
up the Acorn server room.
Yes.
And stop the virus or the phone app.
Whatever the fuck it was.
The MacGuffin.
Yeah, and then this is also weird because then, like, this is when the alarm clock shows up.
Yeah, and wants to fight even though it doesn't need to, and you don't know if it's real or not.
Yeah.
And also their magic potion
wears off,
and they start aging again.
Yeah, and he's got a long mane of hair.
Yeah, it's all happening weirdly.
Yeah, and so he's beating everyone up while the dad is, you know, climbing the tree to save his daughter, which he does. He says, like, I was your dad the whole time. You're like, oh, she's like, oh, wow, I told him a lot of things. And it's like,
weird.
But not like, we saw she didn't tell him anything weird, but that
line. It's a weird line.
A weird line. Yeah, and Tina, she teaches Jeff Goldblum. She teaches Jeff Goldblum a lesson about, like, family.
Yeah.
It's all about family. I don't know if you know that. It's all about family.
Family?
Familia. She teaches him about family, and then everyone reunites with their parents, including the Jewish boy and his black dad. They reunite, and it's just a happy ending.
Well, just because he's wearing a dreidel doesn't mean he's Jewish.
So he's appropriating your culture? You're not going to stand up for that?
It seems like something his father should be instilling values into him, not me.
So at the very end, Boss Man, he's not there on Christmas and gives them a bunch of presents, including a giant gold statue of the dad, but when he was a little boy.
That's weird.
But he's holding the thing that says World's Greatest Dad.
That's weird.
Bizarre.
Because Boss Baby has its own gold statue, and now Tim does, but they're both kids in it, and now there's a giant gold statue in his front yard that's facing the house.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird, but it turns out he is there, and they fight, and then they make up, and then Jeff Goldblum goes back to his parents, and then the movie ends. Who cares?
There's a scene where the mom picks up the phone. Of like you know, like
yeah.
they have like the little phone from Toy Story or like from the 70s.
Yeah.
And she goes, hello. And like, it's almost like they were sequel baiting with that. But
yeah,
it happened so quickly. You're like, wait, what?
Like she's going to accept a mission from Baby Corp.
And also in the credits, there's no mid credit scene. There's no post credit scene either.
Like, why? Thank God. They're like, hey, parents, you've suffered enough. Get the fuck out of here.
But aside from the, you know, we talked about the visual effects and a lot of the editing is really good in this film. I will say camera's always moving. Animation's kind of sloppy, but first one had that good as well.
No.
But did you like the music in this film?
No.
Like not like her singing, but the actual like score and stuff?
No.
But it was the same composer as the movie you were in, Hans Zimmer.
Oh, it was?
You don't like Hans Zimmer?
Listen.
He did Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Rises, you asshole.
Dark
Get
Knight
it right.
Lives?
Look, I like Hans Zimmer. I think his music's very good, but he's hit or miss.
I feel
he
like
also did
this,
the music for Amazing Spider-Man 2 with Junkie XL.
I feel like this was a
yeah.
like, hey, you owe us 10 movies deal
yeah.
with Universal.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why the hell would
And
he-
also there's times where Hans Zimmer will just like rehash some of his stuff. So Hans Zimmer, I do love Hans Zimmer when he's motivated and he wants to do a good job. And he's excited about the project, but I don't think he gave a shit about Boss Baby 2, and the music did not stand out to
me. And doesn't just rip off one of his old scores?
No. Yeah, and that was Boss Baby 2. I didn't like it. I didn't really enjoy it.
I don't know. They're going to make a third one, but I don't know what they're going to do.
I think they'll just do another show. It's easy. It's cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, you have a whole new generation of kids who just saw this and they're like, oh, now I got to see the first one. Oh, there's a TV show. So The first one did well, right? It spawned a whole thing. People liked it for some fucking reason.
I mean, this one was on par or fine with the first one. Jeff Goldblum was good.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum seems like he's genuinely having fun.
It's not like Cars 2 or Incredibles 2 where I'm just like, eh.
Yeah.
Where Shrek 2 was better than Shrek 1 in many ways.
I know, and that's DreamWorks.
And I feel like Boss Baby 2 could be better than Boss Baby 1.
And I like, you know what? I like, speaking of DreamWorks, the Kung Fu Panda movies.
Yeah,
even
right.
though they are for children.
Madagascar is okay.
No.
I like the penguins.
No, fuck that. The Kung Fu Panda movies are actually a lot of fun, though. But that's another one where they had a... Yeah, that had a TV show.
It did.
So didn't Barnyard also have a TV show?
Oh, Barnyard.
So that's what they do. They make the movie to push a TV show, and then they do a sequel to push like a video game or something.
The rich get richer.
The rich get richer, and the boss babies get bossier.
Well, that was the name of the book, Bossier Baby.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's weird. They didn't use that one. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, that was Boss Baby. It sucked. I didn't like it. I hated it. I pitched this episode as a joke, and then everyone agreed to it. So here we are with Boss Baby 2.
Well, it's, you know, we figured we talked about Boss Baby 1 on our former failed podcast.
Yes.
And we can talk about this on your current failed show.
No, it's a very successful show.
Not this episode. Certainly not.
As long as it gets more views than the Pokemon episode, I am fine. Anyway, that was it from us. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe. And I hope that at the time this comes out, we've been doing the voicemail segments. As you know, we film these out of order, and yeah. We're about to record the first voicemail segment, which will be in the podcast version of the show exclusively.
And remember to watch the Dread episode that I will be in.
Watch the Dread episode that he will be in, maybe in August. And watch all the episodes. They're all good. Every episode's good. And make sure to subscribe, too. Please. And thank you. And no, don't forget about Patreon. Patreon's fun. Mm. You were in a recent mailbag video we did on Patreon. Mm. You opened up a million Pokemon stickers, and you felt the need to say the name of every single Pokemon.
Yes.
And it went on for a long time. So check that out on Patreon. Anything you want to say, Justin?
I'm good. Thank you. Oh, follow me on Twitter so I have more Twitter followers than Tony at Hack the Movies. Thank you.
Jerk. All right, Newt, another voicemail segment. And this time we have Justin with us.
Yay. You guys have real headphones. I have earbuds.
Yeah, well, we're very sophisticated.
I noticed on the last time you did this, the first time you did this, you didn't mention the new podcast set that I built by hand.
Yeah.
With Ryan, and you didn't help with.
Right. I helped a little bit. Asshole.
You know, him staying out of the way did help us.
That's true.
Yes, we are on the new podcast set. I mean, our show is still in the video store, but for this, we just want to do it here. And yeah, let's listen to what all my loving fans have to say to me.
Yeah, good.
Okay, first we got one from Danny Petruska.
Okay.
He was the first person to wear the Tony Peak shirt because he lived in Washington, so I sent him the shirt first to take all the pictures. At the Twin Peaks location.
Hi, Tony. This is Danny Petruska. I just wanted to say that in the summer of 97, I was at my uncle's house, and I was watching Jaws the Revenge.
Oh.
And he came into the room, and he said, "What the fuck are you watching, you pathetic fucking kid? Turn the shit off and go outside and play ball." And I finished the movie, and then I went home and I went to bed.
Oh,
Thank you.
Well, that was a great story.
That was riveting.
It was a great story. I'm on the dad's side. Jaws the Revenge is terrible.
Yeah, go outside and play baseball.
And it probably would be better if you were just playing.
Is that Jaws 4?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Yes, that's the one that ignores Jaws 3.
With Mario Van Peebles and Michael Caine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, which we talked about in the last episode.
The size of a tangerine.
Hey, Tony. It's Brian. Haven't heard from you in a while. I know you... you know, you're doing pretty well.
Brian, famous
on YouTube now.
It's Brian David. He was on the Scooby-Doo episode of Talking About
Things. Oh, yeah. He wasn't properly introduced.
He wasn't properly
introduced. I'm not really sure who that is because he was not properly introduced.
Yeah. You just skipped this one.
Oh, no, I want to hear what he has to say.
So, I thought I'd give you a call. I mean, like I said, I haven't heard from you in a while. I'd like to come down and, maybe record another episode or something. I know they, you know, there was another Scooby-Doo movie that they made.
We won't be doing that.
Yeah, after the one that we did. So
Yeah.
Garfield?
He kind of sounds like Garfield.
Don't we have that on the schedule at some point?
Garfield? Yeah, but it's going to be me, you, and the cat.
That's right. Raid Shadow Legends.
What if Brian voices the cat?
Just, you know, reach me anytime. You have my number. All right.
When you got really famous, you took a lot of people's numbers out.
Oh,
hold on. You have my number. You know, reach me anytime. You have my number. All right. Man, what a fucking asshole. Guy hits 35K subs on YouTube, thinks he's a fucking celebrity or something.
Oh.
God damn it.
That's exactly what Garfield
37K now.
37, almost 37. 37.
Okay.
Right, as of this recording, we're like 36,960 something. We're almost there.
69.
Subscribers have slowed down a little bit. Please, if you're watching or listening, please subscribe. Danny called back.
Okay, good.
Hello, Tony. It's Danny again. I just wanted to say that I watched Army of the Dead. I thought it was Zack Snyder's best movie.
Whoa.
It was very creative.
Whoa.
It was original. It was something we've never seen before.
Can I tell this
guy? Wait, Zombies in Vegas? That was Resident Evil Extinction.
Can I go to this guy's house and tell him to go outside and play ball? Is this the same guy?
It's the same guy.
I'm just going to knock on his door and be like, go outside and play ball. And
the story was just phenomenal. It was the best 2.5 hour movie I have ever seen in my life.
Do you agree with this, Justin? Did you see Army of the Dead?
I did not.
Because you watched our episode and we covered it so well, right?
No. He doesn't even watch the ones he's in.
Barely.
Yeah.
I really like the part when the lady drops the queen zombie head on the ground and it explodes and it makes that like whoosh noise. I laughed really hard. And I hope we get a sequel because I want to see what happens. I'm really thinking that they're going to clone Batista and he's going to come back as Super Batista and have to fight all the zombies.
That would
and
be
I hope
dumb
that
enough
he,
to be
Batista
in the sequel.
Batista bombs them in the sequel because this movie was missing
the
that.
Batista bomb.
They really missed out on a great...
He didn't Batista bomb anyone.
Can I ask you a
opportunity?
Question?
Can
how many people in your fan base do you think are in Mensa?
The
Nambla?
10 would watch
no,
again.
Not Nambla, Mensa.
No, not Nambla, you asshole.
The North American
and Marlon
Brando
lookalikes. Well, thanks for that, Danny.
Yeah.
There you go.
Tony, it's an honor to leave a message for someone so famous.
Oh, very famous.
Newt, you write a book, man. All your stories are amazing. So I want more of that.
Yeah, you have to learn how to write.
Crystal, you make the show hot. Just saying. And
Crystal question.
You're Crystal for this one.
Speak for her now.
Replace Crystal with Justin.
Yeah. Johanna, when she's on there, she's hilarious.
No.
But just an appreciation message because you guys rock. And it's great that you're around. So, love you. But not in a sexual way.
Oh,
more
God.
Like an appreciation way.
Damn it.
So, I'll take the Johanna message too. Johanna or
Johanna? Bye.
It's... Okay, we've talked about this. It's Johanna.
Han.
And you always say Johanna.
Yeah, like Han Solo.
Yeah.
And I think you told our voiceover guy that, so that's why we have...
I thought it was like Benihana.
All right.
Hey, Tony. I was just beating my cock to your OnlyFans.
Oh, this is the podcast version, so I can mention it. OnlyFans.com/hackthemovies. It's pretty. This guy's beating his cock to it.
I don't like the idea of people beating their dicks like they owe you money, like they owe it money. Like,
wow, wow. How do you feel, Justin, about this gentleman?
I want to see where it's gonna go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Had it all greased up and shit. I was just thinking. Anyways, you need to release a flesh check. I need that Tony from Hack the Moon release a flesh check.
A flesh track?
You need to release a flesh check. I need that Tony from Hack the Movies butthole.
I guess that's you, like, recording yourself.
Anyways, show's pretty good. You guys should just do an episode where you drink the whole time.
Huh.
Straight drinking.
Bad idea.
We tried that. I tried that.
You know, I did warn our intern if she wanted to stop listening to these at any time when she's sorting it, I would not be mad at her.
So he wants you to release a flesh track, and he wants that Tony butthole.
Yes.
No one wants
flesh
that.
Flesh or flush?
I thought he said flesh track.
Is that like Johanna Johanna?
Yes, I
flush,
think so.
Flush, flesh.
Potato, potato.
Hey, guys. Yeah. Danny called back.
Oh, good. Well, he's done now.
Hi, Tony. It's Danny again.
Well, no. This isn't the jerk-off guy.
Oh, okay.
This is Charles Four guy.
Oh, that's I just wanted to tell you about this one time I went into a Subway. I was ordering a sandwich.
Okay.
The sandwich maker Subway guy goes, sandwich what artist. Do you think about the Olympics? And I go, I don't watch the Olympics.
Okay.
He goes, oh, well, I think USA is going to take the gold. And I said, can you put mayonnaise on my sandwich, please? And he goes, ooh, mayonnaise. And I went, yes, please. And so he put it on. And then he finished up and he handed me the sandwich. And I said, thank you. And I walked away. And I'm pretty sure he wanted to put his penis in my mouth. But I said, no, thank you. But he didn't ask me. But I still said, no, thank you. And then I just threw the sandwich away.
That's a waste of money.
What kind
of,
you think it was like a cold cut combo? Italian BLT? That's a sleeper.
I like the Subway Club.
So
that was a good one back
in
the day.
He thought the guy wanted to put his penis in him. And even though the guy didn't say that, and there was no way to know that, Danny still said, no, thank you.
Well, no, in the gay community, okay, going for the gold means something different.
Did the club have bacon on it?
No, it did. Yes, it did.
It was like a club.
No, it was like a bunch of different ones. And then I would get it with lettuce, tomato, black olives, oil, and vinegar.
I'm not a black olive guy.
I like black
or vinegar.
Oh, I love
salt,
black olives.
Salt, pepper, oregano, you know.
I used to get the meatball there, but you put pepperoni on it.
Oh.
And that was always a crowd favorite.
When was the last time you've been to a Subway? I haven't been to a Subway in a long time.
No,
they're like at Walmart's.
Oh, you know, what was the last thing you've been on? The actual Subway or a Subway restaurant?
The actual Subway.
Really?
Yeah. And at no time did a spokesperson try to molest me, so.
Well, you go down there to harass vagrants.
Yes.
Because you're trying to go down for, like, you know, you want one of those Joker situations to
happen. Yes.
Bernard Goetz situation, the real guy.
There we go.
Well, hey there. It's just, real nice to see them hack the movies.
No, I hate a fake Southern accent.
Yeah. A lot of fans in the South. You think that's a fake Southern accent?
I think that's a fake accent.
That's like,
yeah,
French fried potatoes.
I feel real good. It makes me feel real good inside. Make me feel good to see people with my same mental capacities succeed in the movie industry.
So we're the same mental capacity and we're succeeding.
Yeah.
In the movie industry.
In the movie industry.
I just want to let you know that I appreciate it. And I thank you from the bottoms of my heart.
Oh, he's crying like you do, Newt. He's crying.
He's thinking about the ending of Man of Steel.
Yes.
Why do people automatically go to the Southern accent?
At least I got this rash. Doctors say it should go away, but I don't believe in doctors.
You could do a Southern accent and not be accused of being racist.
Oh, but like if I was going to do a Southern accent, I'd have like a fancy Southern drawl. Like I'm from Louisiana.
Oh, like kind of like a Kevin Spacey in House of Cards.
Or like exactly. Bill's
uncle.
Bill's uncle on King of the Hill.
Yeah.
I've been doing nothing wrong.
How long have you been there? 35 years.
We should have. I've never had a mint julep. We should get mint
really?
Juleps.
Really? You have?
Yeah.
Them doctors. Doctors. Anyway, I think that's about all. I'm heading into the Popeyes. Guys, have a great one. Keep up them good works. And I'll show the world that people like us can succeed.
Well, he's succeeding.
He's succeeding.
I do declare. I think we should get some mint juice.
Ma. This call gave me the vapors.
Hi. This is Keith.
Oh.
I've known Tony for a very, very long time.
I'm sorry.
Me and my good friend Keith. I'll cut that other part out. Me and him had a little business together, and I think at one time Hack Movies was tied to it, and then we closed that business. And now he no longer owns any of it.
Oh. Well, thanks for calling.
He should come for that money.
But yeah. I still love Keith. I was at his wedding when the world closed.
Keith, if you would like to know where our offices are, and you'd like
you,
to meet Tony in the parking lot.
Deal with him on a daily basis these days. I do truly apologize for just who he is. generally speaking.
This is one of my closest friends. What an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
As an okay-ish friend that he is. Oh, he has had me watch the worst movies of my entire life. Ever. And somehow, I let him show me these movies multiple times.
Actually, for instance, good movies.
Ender's Game, which was some of the worst
Ender's Game was pretty bad.
Harrison Ford?
Yeah. Sleepaway Camp, I've watched on more than one.
Oh, Sleepaway Camp's great.
Great ending.
Yeah. I mentioned it, if you're watching this on Patreon, we did a little recap of that convention we went to.
And we met Felicia Rose there.
Yeah, I have my Sleepaway Camp box set, which used to be Keith's. I bought it for him out of spite, and then he gave it back. So I had her sign it, and it says, Keith sucks. And he's like, no, you fucking
Do you know who played... what's her name? Angela in part two.
Yes. I forget her first name, but it's Bruce Springsteen's sister. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who actually looks like Keith's sister a little bit in those movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Each time was terrible. And then the Room, of course.
The Room's pretty good.
Is comically terrible, but still nonetheless terrible. So, really, in the very first movie I think he ever made me watch with him was Avatar, the live action.
Oh, yeah, The Last Airbender. That was the first.
I think he's a bad person.
What?
Yeah. Really? I just think he's a bad human being for making somebody do that.
Yeah.
Not even for the movies.
Anyway, love you, Tony.
Just a bad person.
Yeah. Well, by the way, there were voices in the back. I think he might have did that at work. they're like, what's Keith doing? Oh, he's shitting on his like really good friend, apparently.
I don't know about that. Like, Justin and I are friends.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You are a guy.
I've known Newt for 20 years. Yeah. I've known you for 10.
Yes, that's true. Guys, Gabe called.
Oh, no.
Hey, Tony and Joanna. It's me, Gabriel Rochenendez.
Just Tony
no
and Joanna.
No Justin. No
maybe
Kieran.
He left this. Maybe this was for Cassilla.
Okay.
So I'm just calling on that phone line that you posted on the Discord, and I'm just testing it out. Okay. I hope you guys are enjoying those Fujiwara Gumi tapes that I sent you guys. Since I'm calling anyway, I might as well ask a question. So are you and Joanna ever going to review Freddy versus Jason? Because I do...
Specifically me and Joanna. Yeah. I think
well,
it's pretty funny.
I'll be Johanna in this situation.
Okay.
Yeah. So all you guys saying that you're fans of that movie, and I'm also a fan of that movie, so I'd love to hear you two make a review on it.
Not you,
like, you know, talking about tapes or an episode of Hack the Movies. So, yeah.
Well, okay. Goodbye.
Freddy versus Jason.
Which will be in our Friday the 13th series.
Yes, we are reviewing the three Friday the 13ths at a time.
Every Friday the 13th.
Every Friday the
13th. So we'll get to it in like 2023.
We'll get to it in 2023. Maybe we'll film it early.
I don't plan on him living that long, so you and I will take care of that.
I'm definitely looking forward to part 8.
Yes.
Game. I like Fortnite.
So I think Jigsaw called us.
Yeah.
And
is
Jigsaw
in Fortnite? That has to be a thing.
No. No.
Thanos is in it.
Well, they do mostly I guess Alien is R-rated, and that made it into Fortnite.
Do they make Thanos like dab?
Yeah, he can floss and dab.
That's
and
fucking
do the
stupid.
Keith
is Jigsaw?
Notebook.
Jigsaw's probably in. Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, you played that game when I was at your house.
Yeah, but I forget if Jigsaw's in it. Everyone else is in it, so he's probably in it. Okay.
Hey, Tony, it's Matt from Maddie's Great Adventures again. Just thought I'd say hello and hope you're doing well. Please tell Newt I said hello. Please tell Crystal I said hello. Justin Silverman, fine. Ryan... Even James Rolfe and Mike Matei.
I will.
I hope everybody is doing well.
We're all doing well.
And hopefully you'll come on my show sometime. I'd love to have you on and talk with you.
Who
buddy.
Is this?
You should go on this show.
That's Maddie's Great Adventures on YouTube.
Justin and I went on this show.
Great Adventures on YouTube. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well.
And have a wonderful, wonderful day. Keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you.
Take care.
If Mike Matei asks... Bye-bye. And says, hey, did Matt Dragon call? I'm going to say no. He did not ask about you.
Specifically.
Yes.
We have two Matt Dragon calls.
Oh. It's our lucky
day. Hey, Tony. It's Matt calling from Maddie's Great Adventures. When are you going to come on my show, man?
You had a whole minute.
I've been saying for you to come on my show. Justin Silverman's been on the show.
I've been on the show.
Even Newt's been on the show. You got to come on, man. You got to come on.
Were you guys
also,
just in the chat? Or did you,
we were
just
in Myrtle Beach not too long ago.
So we were
I'm
on the show.
I'm still down here in Myrtle Beach. It's a shame I didn't see you down here.
It's a shame. It's a shame I didn't get to hang out with Matt at Myrtle Beach.
And hope you're doing well, buddy.
Next time you go down, I'll let him know.
I love your channel.
Oh, thank you.
Keep up the good work. And, just keep being you, man. And have a wonderful, wonderful day.
I will
pay. Take care. Bye-bye.
I will pay out of my own pocket for you to go down there and do that show live.
I did like hanging out at Myrtle Beach. Myrtle Beach was fun.
But you have to hang out with Matt Dragon.
He's got a lot of DVDs.
Yeah.
I'm very busy, guys.
No. We will handle editing. Justin and I will do Detective Pikachu.
Newt, there's no time for it, okay? Now let's see our last one here in this batch.
Tony.
Hi.
Hannah and Crystal were on to something when they said you should do one on Gingersnap, werewolf movie.
I saw it recently.
But it's like
movie.
There's a whole trilogy of that.
Yes.
There's Gingersnap 2, which is the best movie in the franchise.
Two
and then
is
they have
the
a
best?
Prequel, Gingersnap.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Three or Unleashed or whatever the fuck it's called. Snaps?
The one girl's name is Ginger. And
I thought it was about the cookies.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I think you should do that. You know, being Canadian and those films being Canadian. You'll at least get like 1 million views per video because, I mean, if there's 30 million people in Canada,
it's very it's true.
You assume 1/3 of them
watch. Yeah, if you really think about it, but, you know,
I mean,
if you release them
alone.
On Patreon, just do 2. I want to see the review of 2 on Rental Reviews or whatever the new show's called.
It'll be on Rental Reviews.
Yeah.
what if randomly just one episode of Rental Reviews came out? It was just Ginger Snaps 2 and then it never came out.
Do we have any? I wonder. We have a couple
that you didn't air.
We
have a couple.
You just put on Active Movies.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
Yeah, Highlander was one of them.
Masters of the Universe.
There was Masters of the Universe. That was a misconception. We did a He-Man one. That was the first one we shot.
We
was
the
He-Man
Christmas
special.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then Kieran said, like, look forward to it in an upcoming thing, and then we decided not to release it because it was terrible.
Oh, because James told me you guys did Masters of the Universe.
No.
We did not do Masters of the
Universe. I wanted to do that with Pixel Dan.
There was like an anime one too, right?
I don't think animated He-Man movie.
No. I mean, there was an anime, like they reviewed some anime movie, I think.
Oh, Fist of the North Star.
Right.
Oh,
right.
That's cool.
And then we did Perfect Blue, but my James forgot to plug his mic back in.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
You know, that is totally original and that you didn't steal.
Did you hear that? Talking about tapes is totally original, and I didn't steal it.
That's
what
good.
Do you think, Justin? Well, that's it for this voicemail segment. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Keep listening, please. And if you want to see a video version of this, it's on Patreon. And we'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
Remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Check out our other videos and Patreon page.